Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, may I have your attention, please? Are you ready to engage in a mind-blowing experience and hear talks about life, technology, entertainment, and business? The next episode of Hip to Talks starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Good morning, good day, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a fresh edition of Hipter Talks, the podcast that promises to cover whatever you're interested in. We have today Zonke from In VR Space. Hello, Zonke. I'm going to kindly ask you to give us a few sentences about yourself, your background, and about your company.
Okie dokie, where to start? So my name is Sönke Kirchhoff, as you already mentioned. I'm CEO of In VR Space, a Berlin-based virtual reality and a little bit of AR, like let's say XR company. We are doing all kind of genres and formats in that field, or most of them, from live broadcast and 360, from events like festivals and concerts to documentaries or narrative pieces, two interactive games and art installations that probably do not really fit into a specific genre or format. So we are playing around with this medium, as well as doing a lot of tech research and development, light field technologies, volumetric capture, this kind of stuff. But as well, we are having a rental, so we rent out equipment to everybody who does not have a VR headset or festivals that need a bunch of them. Technology tools that might be useful for these kind of installations, but as well computers and cameras and everything you might need to create or distribute virtual reality. Exactly. I started with that about 10 years ago, running InVR now since 7 years. And before I had, and I still have, another company that is focusing on VFX and stereoscopic 3D filmmaking, more in a classical environment like cinema and TV. And so I studied film production. At the end of my studies and at the beginning of my studies, I started with political science. So that's my background.
Whoa, that sounds like a lot. You mentioned VR, AR, XR. Could you shed some light on these terms? What's the difference between them? What each and every one of them stand for?
Sure. Of course. Basically, perhaps the easiest way to describe is VR is happening in goggles and headsets that are totally close to the environment. So you see a virtual environment, a virtual world around you, which might be more or less interactive. Then augmented reality, AR, is something where you can put a layer on the real world, like you look through a camera onto something real in front of you, and there will be virtual layers augmented on top of that. So to make it more easy, we tend to say XR now, which is the term for covering everything that might be virtual reality, augmented reality, or mixed reality. Mixed reality is something that mixes both things, where you have a VR headset, for example, with cameras that look through. So you look with a VR headset on a real world around you, layering something artificial on top of that.
Okay. Now it's more clear. You mentioned games in one of the industry that is currently working in, mm-hmm. And by conclusion, it's one of the industries that use lots of AR, VR. But except gaming, what are the other common uses for XR nowadays?
Well, I would say, of course, as already said, like there is a lot of, and that's something that most of the people, the mass audience, will not even recognize right now, is in education, teaching, training, and so on. So, for example, like I'm educating doctors to practice like operations on the open heart, for example, is things that are happening in VR. But as well, like maintaining machines, maintaining, I don't know, oil platforms that are located offshore where you cannot just send people to train them how to replace a vent or a pipe or something like this. These are two fields where it happens a lot. As well, design process, for example, in the automotive industry, which is more very cost intensive. You can always just build a car and then recognize, oh, the design is not looking too good, so let's waste it again, start a new one. This is happening in VR as well, very much. Just to name a few fields, and of course, there are fields where a lot of money is inside, like medical industries. It's about the human life, everything that is like the energy industry. Of course, there's a lot of money inside as well as in the automotive industry. These are the main. And then if you're looking more into the entertainment or into the industry that is reshaping continuously, right now, I would say VR is used a lot in these kind of things that we are doing right now. Like we're using a 2D platform where we are talking to each other with a video. In VR, you will find more and more platforms that, which one of them is developed by us, where you can meet together with avatars, you can socialize, you can go to like kind of conference where you can listen to keynotes of other people, live stream into the platform, but you can even experience virtual reality content inside the virtual reality platforms. So this is kind of a completely new world that opened up as well, fueled by the pandemic, because people looked more into platforms and then they recognized, oh, we can meet in VR. So a little bit more of a social impact given than in the 2D video call, and experience what we normally would have experienced on location with all the VR experiences and films and whatever is there.
So when we say the usage of XR in medicine, mm-hmm. If we are imagining, most people understand that the XR is used to learn something that is medicine related, but that alone is an is the usage of XR in education. And I was wondering, what would it take, what needs to be done to actually say that XR is used in medicine or automotive or...
All right. So for medicine, I would say if it's really used for treatment of patients, that's what you're referring to. Or like
for example,
automotive industry, to really use like a VR headset while driving a car, for example. That's happening as well. It's very, very first steps. Like, for example, there is a startup that was created out of Audi, for example, that invented a system where the VR system is connected to the computers in the car that tells the VR headset if someone is steering to the left or to the right, or if it's accelerating or braking. And these kind of movements are directly translated to the VR headset or the experience that we're experiencing in there. So they created, for example, like a ride through a graveyard, and to avoid motion sickness, for example, all the movements from the car where you're sitting on in the wheel are translated into the movement of the vehicle you're sitting in the experience. So it all correlates and fits together. So with that, the idea, I think the basic idea was to give an entertainment product to people who are commuting, for example, in cities like LA, where you have a traffic jam all the time. And if you're not a tourist in LA, it doesn't add anything to you anymore to look out of the window to the other cars in the traffic jam. Same applies for medical purpose. For example, we did projects with companies that are giving long-term injections for patients. I don't know how it's called in English, the exact treatment, but it doesn't matter. It's about long-term injections. Some people don't like to see the needles and don't like to see how the needles are stick into their arm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, sitting for 45 minutes there and waiting until all the fluids are injected. There we curated a program and set up a special player for that where people could just relax. They don't even see the needle, they don't feel the needle, and the 45 minutes are over before they could even think about it and would have appreciated another 15 minutes in the virtual reality.
Are there any industries that you feel that they could really benefit and they would like to use this, but it's not yet there? They're not...
for sure, telecommunications. I mean, the time of the iPhone and these kind of devices is more or less it's over. People are already considering that Apple already started to stop the iPhone as a product because they are working on their own VR headset. The VR headset, the AR headset, as we know them right now, is definitely an intermediate. And as we've seen, Facebook collaborated with Ray-Ban and released, as Bose did before, a properly designed Ray-Ban shaped glass. In that case, only with audio features. But the next step there will be visual features included as well. So you have a glass that looks like mine, that is like, will not identify it as a VR or AR headset, but has these kind of functionalities. And that's something that will happen during the next years because these things are always getting smaller and smaller. And then we are talking about holograms, for example. I mean, we've seen them in Star Wars. R2-D2 presented a hologram of Princess Leia. And so we are looking for these kind of holograms. This will come, and this will exactly be done first step, at least with these kind of devices, I think.
Would there be any chances in the close future to diminish the costs of VR technology in order to make it accessible to smaller companies?
Sure, definitely. I mean, it's happening already. If you're looking at the market and how it developed in the last 5 years, if you're looking into what a VR headset costs, like back in the days, right now you have like an Oculus Quest. I don't know what's the actual daily price for a small sized Oculus Quest headset, perhaps something like, I don't know, 300 euros. Let's consider 300 euros. I assume that Apple will come around with a device that will cost more like 1,000 euros, like the iPhones cost, because they want to get a little bit away from this cheap mass market in a way, and they of course they want to earn some money with their product, and they get an extra amount of money for the design piece and so on. They can make it that costly because people will pay for it, because people who are into Apple will pay 1,000 euros even if you could get a cheaper one for 300 euros. And that's exactly what Facebook did. They I don't think that they earn money with selling an Oculus Quest. They earn money with the software that you install afterwards, with the 30% of royalties they take from selling a 30 euro game in the Oculus Quest in the end. I'm super convinced that we will find headsets that are providing a more or less proper quality, image quality for 150 to 200 euros soonish. That was the price range for an Oculus Go in the end. And we'll find devices in the area of 300-500 euros, and we'll find devices for 1,000-1,200 euros, and then of course even more costly ones that are more for the industrial usage, like Vaio from Finland, for example.
Let's switch focus a little bit to the human side, connecting people. is XR connecting people, or creating a dependency that will actually break when people get off in the real world?
Well, both, I would say. And perhaps we should consider, A, it's a medium. So with the medium, you can do a lot of things. So you can connect people, you can separate people. The medium, on the other hand, it's B, is just technology. VR doesn't do anything. We human beings do something with that medium, in this or that way. We can do very good things with that medium, and we can do the most ridiculous, stupid things with that medium. I assume that what is meant with that, like having a social VR platform where you can meet, where you can collaborate, where you can exchange things, not even informations, but you can sell, I say once now in this call, NFTs. Of course, it can be a very social technology as well, and there is social medium as well to connect people.
Mm-hmm. I see. Is there the possibility to have full immersive experiences in the next couple of 5-10 years? Is it a tangible reality?
I still believe that we as human beings will be born at a certain day and will pass away on a certain day. And we will not be able to conserve ourselves and live on in a virtual environment or in a virtual reality or something like this. That's what I'm pretty sure about. Perhaps that answer is partially, in a way. Yeah.
Okay, then if we are to stick to the current situation, could you tell me, let's say, three pros, three cons that nowadays XR are is presenting?
Three pros and three cons. Where do I start? Pros is definitely for most of the people to open up. So here we have a new medium where nobody really can tell you what's a dogma or how to do it. Of course, there are general rules, and there are, of course, the longer it is here, the more experience people have and know what works and what doesn't. But in generally spoken, that's what I said in the beginning when I said like we are working on formats, like art pieces that are not fitting into specific genres and formats. We can do that. So I don't have to argue with a commissioner from a public broadcast station if that fits into their broadcasting slot at 8:15. A negative point is definitely the aspect of data. With the Quest 2, it was invented that you don't need an Oculus account anymore, but a Facebook account. But it was pretty crystal clear that they just collect more data about it. This is really something to talk about.
Yeah, but that sounds like a different subject for a whole new podcast.
Exactly. It's an evening filling topic, let's say. So I think that's already three cons in one, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. We're cutting it close to the end. I want to thank you, Zonke, for joining us. I want to thank all our subscribers, our listeners for tuning in. And as I opened this podcast, I'm going to give you the honor of closing it. One sentence of what is XR to you?
Exciting. XR sighting. No, really, it is exciting because it's a new world. We can do so much in there. It's super exciting. While I was getting bored by television industry before and so on, I'm super excited each day here in my business, creating new content, thinking about new things, new approaches, throwing it all away, starting new from scratch when we have the feeling that's not exciting. So super exciting. Thanks for having me, by the way, and thanks to the audience for listening to this.
Thank you for joining. Be sure to check back next week for the next Hip to Talks and subscribe on Amazon Music, Overcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, MixCloud, and Pandora.